Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Jonathan Baker, a visionary director, actor, and businessman, as it's turned out. And I thought we'll talk a bit about your film career, and then we'll talk about Maidstone Arms, which I'm more familiar with than you might think. However, I know that you've just sold and are going to be releasing Fate, which is you announce is your next to last film. Can you tell me why it's next to last?
Being a storyteller is hard, and being a perfectionist is hard, and then being a control freak on top of that is even harder. So it takes me some time to write a picture. And then it takes me a little bit longer to finance it, find the distribution, the right people that believe in me. And then when you actually get to making the movie, there's a lot of pressure about making decisions really quickly. And bad movies are made because the system today pushes the director around. So it takes me a lot of energy and a lot of years and a lot of time to hold that position and really want to have the story come out. What's on the page is on the screen, and what's on the screen is what the audience is going to take away from. And there's plenty of major directors that have made bad movies. So for me, this has always been Fate. Is a supernatural love story. And now that it's done and I'm getting older, I really only have one other film that I want to do, which we can get to that after we talk about Fate.
Who's the stars of Fate and what's the basic plot of it?
So Fate is a supernatural love story that spans over about 60 years. And it stars Faye Dunaway, Harvey Keitel, Brandon Routh, Mina Severo, James Van Patten. It's pretty star-studded in today's formulaic for movies. I'm a person who believes in movie stars, not necessarily actors. If you look at what we have today on television, it's different than what it was when you and I went to the movie theater. And my goal is always to put something in the movie theater, not necessarily put it on television.
What are some of the other films that you're very proud of?
Well, I mean, the other film that I made was Inconceivable with Nick Cage. That was a supernatural thriller about surrogacy, and very timely for when I made it. And today there's a lot of surrogacy going on. That film was made for women in a time where the women actors didn't really get noticed. And I was like, okay, I don't really want to do thrillers, and nobody would let me do dramas. So I took theme-based movies, and because of Gina Gershon and Nikki Whelan, and again, I took Faye Dunaway and put her in that movie as well, because I believe in her. I mean, I believe that she's a true movie star. It's you don't see them like today. You don't see Steve McQueen, and you don't see Paul Newman's and Robert Redford's. You know, the last we have today is Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt. And when they go, I don't know if they'll ever be a movie star again, because everybody's watching television all the time.
Yeah. You've been in quite a number of movies. Is that what did you think was the most fun that you've had as an actor?
You know, acting is something I do because I want to have a narrative in the film when the film comes out, because all the actors don't want to do the press. They don't want to do the junkets. They don't want to go and do anything today. And yesteryear, it was everybody did Johnny Carson. There's no Johnny Carson anymore unless you're Tom Cruise and unless you own the movie. And so I recognized that that was going to be an issue long ago. So I said, you know what? I'm pretty good at what I do. I believe in this medium. I love storytelling. So myself as an actor is really to put myself between who's out there and who's performing, so that when, like now, we're talking about Fate, which is kind of behind me, and we talk about all the stars that have now moved on to their next project, I can now celebrate them and I can tell great stories about them, better stories than they can tell about me and better stories they can tell about the film. And that's what makes the audience very curious about the actual film itself.
You sold it at Cannes, I think.
Yeah. So we went in and we have foreign sales. We have not sold domestic yet, but that's on purpose because I don't want to sell right now to Netflix and Apple. I told everybody that the work that I do, I want to be on the silver screen, even though we don't go to movies anymore. There are people that do. There are people that go on date nights. There's people that actually go to these 10-fold movies, and then after the first week, they don't have anywhere to go. There's people in the subscription market of AMC that have all that. And those are the people that I want to play to, because when I sit in a movie, the only way you get me to a movie is if I go to IMAX and watch it in that gigantic format. And then I'm blown away. And when I was young, when I went to the movies, it was a silver screen. So I just don't want to build all of the storytelling for a box that is, you know, even though it's pretty big today, which is 70 to 100 inches, it's still, if you can stop it to go to the bathroom or get a drink or, you know, do whatever you're going to do. For me, you're not in a dark room and your emotions aren't vested into it. It doesn't mean that you can't see it that way, but I'm making movies for people that want an experience and sit down and want me to take them from point A to point Z. And more important, I don't want to make television for that exact opposite reason, that you can't do that.
So why is Icon going to be your last film, and how far along are you with it?
So Icon, it touches my heart. If you go to the internet, you can find out what it's about, but in detail, because it's, I put it out there just now. It's my crowning jewel. It's about a soul that travels through 100 years until it reaches its journey as a rock star. It tells the story of American immigration. It tells the story of American and how music has evolved from vaudeville to jazz, to rockabilly, to rock and roll, to alternative rock, to pop star, such as Taylor Swift today. And, you know, when I grew up, it was Elvis, it was the Beatles. There's a sensation. But what I've done is I've married it with our journey from Ellis Island all the way west to California. And that journey of immigration tells the story of one family's saga, and the last generation doesn't even know the first three generations, only finds their information, and it just shows you how strong we are today at who we are and why we are. And I just happen to be a director, but if you chose automobile, for instance, person come over at Ellis Island, worked for Model T, worked for Ford, and then today that generation, four generations more, is a Formula One racer for Ferrari, you know, on the tracks. My hope is that when people see Icon, they'll see themselves, they'll see their family, they'll see their journey, and they will make sense of how and where they are today. And I don't think that there's anything more powerful than this story. And I've read awful lot of scripts, and I just know that when it shows up, people are going to be mesmerized by their own journey of how they got to where they are.
Tell me about the Hamptons and your interest in it, and your recent connection and purchase with the Maidstone Arms?
So I'm a native New Yorker. I grew up in Manhattan, been coming out here my whole life. My wife is from Sweden, and together we have the Maidstone. We still have the Maidstone. We just took in a partner. We own the Maidstone, and we own it with Irwin Simon, who is the owner of Montauk Brewery. He is a pretty known person out in the Hamptons, and yep. He brought in LDV, and together we signed off on trying to change the Maidstone and updating it, bringing it to a place that we've been, Jenny and myself have been trying to do for years. And collectively, because the town has so many politics, we thought that it'd be best if we, you know, kind of join with somebody. He's got a hotel in the city, so it was a perfect fit. He's got a hotel out here now, the Maidstone, and he's got Montauk Brewery, and he's a mensch, and he has a lot going for him, and we decided to join with him.
Well, you know, and one of the interesting parts of the Maidstone, besides the fact that it's so historic going back hundreds of years, was in recent years, as recently as, say, 6 or 7 years ago, it celebrated a filmmaker from Sweden. When you went into the men's room in at that time from the restaurant, you were the entire interior wall was a tribute. It was a set of Ingmar Bergman movie.
Well, yeah.
And is it still there?
No.
They were serving, you know, blueberries or whatever they eat in Sweden, and yep. Cuisine didn't quite catch on at that time. But I thought it was kind of extraordinary. Just as a side note, I once was in a restaurant not too long ago, where when you went into the men's room, the voice of Julia Childs cooking something was blaring away, and you thought she was actually in the men's room, which I thought very...
Yeah, we tried many, many, many different things that were artistic. The community saw it, but because we're a white building on the side of the road, when people came in, they were like, wow, this is amazing. But because we've been here for so long, trying to reinvent yourself over and over and over is a lot more work than you think, especially in the Hamptons, when the pot of 100% is divided up into eighths, not quarters, not thirds, literally sliver of eighths, and we share it with Bridgehampton, with Sag Harbor, with Southampton, Amagansett, and Montauk. So we're just a little guppy in that journey of trying to compete with Surf Lodge. And whether we compete with them or not, it's still a piece of the Hamptons that we call the Hamptons. And I'm proud of the Maidstone because you turn that corner on Main Street, we're the first ones that you see. And when you come to a restaurant, it's unbelievable food. The drink is unbelievable. And the actual rooms, you know, with the Heston beds are pretty really specifically brought to the Hamptons by my wife from Sweden, by the way. She literally, Ingmar Bergman, and this was dominant for Swedish meatballs for a little while.
Right, it was.
People would show up from everywhere looking for the famous Swedish meatballs, and they come in still today going, where's the famous meatballs? And they swore they would put it on the menu, but we'll see what happens at the end of the summer.
Is there anything you want to tell about what was new there this year that's different from prior year?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's gone through a complete makeover. Complete new operational management, which is they're unbelievable. You can't get a seat in here unless you really think about it today. That's how busy they are. It's Italian seafood. So that's different, where you come, you have seafood and you have Italian food, and the chef is unbelievable, fabulous, 5-star Cordon Bleu, and our audience that's coming here really is sophisticated, and we got a lot of movie people in here. Right now, politics, the Clintons, music, Bon Jovi. There's I'd like Robert Downey Jr. We can go from sweep the entire entertainment business in one conversation. But at the end of the day, there's few places to go for champagne in East Hampton, and we're, you know, the person who's trying to really show the sophistication of that glass of champagne.
What do you like about the Hamptons? How do you spend your day, and what are your favorite things to do?
So, you know, as I said, I'm a native New Yorker. I love the Jitney. I love going back and forth, even though I have a car and I could take Blade. I like the idea of old fashioned Hollywood. I like old fashioned Hamptons. So my day is I get up in the morning. It's a lazy day, and I go play tennis for about 2 hours at East Hampton Tennis Club. Love Scott over there. He's done a wonderful job with those tennis courts, and all the people that are loyal there are extremely happy, healthy individuals. So I play tennis. My other favorite thing to do is to go have lunch at Boswick's. I mean, I do like Boswick's. I think they're the best seafood in the Hamptons. And so I'll have something to eat. And I have a boat over in Sag Harbor. And I'll either get on the boat and go to Dorier's. Sure. Or I get on the boat and go to Andre Belice's restaurant in the afternoon. I try to get away from the crowds, but they're everywhere now, and which means the Hamptons is back for a long time. Everybody went everywhere else but the Hamptons, and now the last year, everybody has come back and circled back here.
Yeah, it's quite something to see. And I want to thank you for being on the podcast, and I appreciate the time you took to tell us about what you do, and especially Fate. And I wish you the best.
Fate will be in the theaters in 2025. You'll be able to see the teasers coming out very soon. JonathanBaker.com if you want to find out anything about me, the Maidstone, or anything that I do. But more important, this is all about the Hamptons. The Hamptons film community in the Hamptons, the Hamptons Film Festival, everything is, Alec Baldwin, which we want to put a shout out to him. Thank yep. God that they released him. It was horrible what they did. And,
yep, it was.
And there's no reason why he should have even been involved in that. And but again, I'd like to think of him as the honorary mayor of East Hampton. And yeah. And I'm glad that he is he's back, you know, and they left.
I don't know if you're aware of it, but he's probably donated more money to some of the cultural institutions in the Hamptons than any other celebrity. Millions.
Oh, absolutely. Guildhall. I understand. That's why I'm giving him the shout of mayor.
Yes, me too.
And I'm happy that you know, I'm happy with the new mayor because he's given stuff in Main Beach.
Yep.
And he's given us a little bit of something to look forward to in the future.
You ever think of going to the Artists Writers game? Do you know about that?
No. What is that?
It's an annual baseball game that's been played for 75 years behind the Stop and Shop in Hyrock Park.
Yeah, I know where that is.
And I think it's Saturday, August 17th, right around there. And if you're interested in playing, yeah. I know the friend, what's his name? John Franco is coming. And we don't know yet about Bill Clinton. He comes to umpire sometimes.
That's amazing. I'd love to come. You're inviting me. I'm coming.
Okay. Well, I'll see you then, or if not sooner. Thanks. Well, I'll be in touch about the game.
Okay. You know what? Thank you so much for having me on. This was fun. It's local. It's fun. It's about the community. And if you love the Hamptons, then you're going to kind of love everything about what we just talked about.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Sure.